Ah, sleep. That golden treasure we're warned we'll lose once we welcome our gorgeous newborn into our lives. Yet despite all the warnings, nothing quite prepares us for the reality of those sleepless nights. Everything about your precious newborn baby is so special and something you want to cherish forever, with the possible exception of the sleep deprivation. But imagine for a moment, what if there was a secret sleep map, a guide to unlocking a few more minutes, maybe even hours of precious slumber? Could there be some real life tips and tricks to tip the sleep scales in your favour?
Welcome to the Little Bean Podcast. I'm Sarah Baldock, mum to three wonderful boys and your host on this fascinating journey through the realms of pregnancy, early parenthood and beyond. From my own experience with my three boys and being a newborn photographer and baby whisperer for over 8 years. Wow, I'm about to photograph my 805th newborn baby. So that's over 800 teeny button noses and 8,000 weeny little toesies. I can't believe that. I know the joy, the excitement, and even the occasional bouts of uncertainty that come with this journey. That's why I'm here, to share, to guide, and to help you cherish these invaluable moments. So put your feet up, make yourself comfortable, grab yourself a hot chocolate, and don't forget to add the whipped cream and the marshmallows. You can't have it without them. And join me for this friendly chat.
All three of my boys were very reluctant sleepers in the first few weeks, and I can remember only too well the overwhelming feeling of exhaustion. So fast forward 10 and a half years. How can my youngest be 10 and a half already? And I'm beyond excited to introduce my amazing guest. I just wish I'd known her when my boys were newborns and toddlers too. Today, we're sprinkling a little bit of magic dust over a topic that's near and dear to all of our hearts, sleep. We have a very special guest with us who has mastered the delicate art of lullabies and the science of serene slumbers. Please join me in welcoming Nadia, aka the Sunrise Sleep Coach. She's not just an expert in weaving dreams, she's also a superhero mom to a pair of beautiful twin girls. Balancing between her professional passion and her lovely family, she exemplifies what it means to turn challenges into victories. What sets Nadia apart is her amazing dedication to the realm of infant, child, and autism sleep coaching. Her mission is an enchanting blend of two key elements. Firstly, to guide little ones to slumber as per their unique developmental patterns. And secondly, to create an environment where they feel completely at ease in their sleep spaces. But the treasure trove of Nadia's wisdom doesn't stop there. She offers not only personalised one-to-one support, but also conducts sleep masterclasses and designs practical downloadable guides. Her expertise spans across children of all ages from birth to 10 years, bringing sweet dreams and restful nights to families all around. So I can't wait to get started on this latest fun adventure filled with insights, tips, and some extra sleep, but just not during the podcast, I hope. We're about to dive into the fascinating world of sleep with Nadia guiding us every step of the way. Hi, Nadia. Welcome. How are you doing?
I'm fine, thank you, Sarah. Thank you for having me. This is so exciting to join you.
I know, I can't wait to chat to you and sort of go through everything. So before we start, it's worth sort of letting everyone know. Tell us a little bit about how you got into the world of sleep coaching.
Well, it's one of those things where I think it's a really nice thing, but it's also, I feel bad on my twin girls. You mentioned them in your lovely intro there. And it seems unfair to say that they are the reason that I do this now, but their lack of sleep is pretty much the reason. I also decided that when they were maybe 14, 15 months, myself and my wife were really struggling and we couldn't find any kind of information online or just talking to people that really matched our parenting style, and everything felt a bit uncomfortable and yeah. I wanted to change that. So I did so much research, and everything I learned, you know, a few years ago has completely evolved into more of things that I'm comfortable with and I'm comfortable recommending to families, and that's what I'm about, really. I want to make sure people know that they can get some more sleep, but they don't have to change what they love doing, like feeding to sleep, for example. I think a lot of people feel like they have to change that, or they kind of feel pressured into changing that. But that's not what I'm about. I'm about keeping that in there and still getting some more sleep. So, yeah, it's my girls really that started my journey, but it's completely evolved since then. Luckily, they sleep really well at the moment. So,
Brilliant.
That could change tomorrow.
That's the only thing, because mine are obviously now slightly older, but I know when they were little, sleep wasn't something that any of them really wanted to do. And I wish I'd known you then, because I could have done with the help. So it's such a difficult time, because obviously you want to enjoy every minute of it, but equally sleep deprivation can really sort of rob you of a lot of the enjoyment, because you're just so tired. So it's a really important part.
The other thing is understanding what's normal as well, because there's a lot out there at the moment that says that, waking up three times a night isn't normal, for example. But in terms of baby sleep, that is perfectly normal. So it's working with those kind of myths and kind of busting them, but also making sure that parents feel that they can trust their instincts and they don't have that pressure on them. But if they do want to try and get some more sleep and work on that aspect, there is the help available there, and they're not going to feel forced into doing things.
Yeah. So, I mean, is there any sort of difference between, so for newborns or for younger ones, between breastfeeding and bottle feeding, or is it, can you do the same thing for both of them?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, there's no kind of scientific evidence that says that bottle feeding as opposed to breastfeeding will help your baby sleep much longer. Usually there's, the one thing that there is that formula feed takes a little bit longer to digest, so you may find that your baby is sleeping for a longer period than potentially a breastfed baby.
Yeah.
But breast milk contains melatonin, which is our sleepy hormone, so if anything's going to help your baby sleep, it's something that's actually contains melatonin is fantastic. So however a parent wants to feed their child really has no correlation on their sleep and their sleep needs.
Yeah, I think that's something that I know, because I breastfed all three of mine to start with, but ended up having to do both, because joint breastfeeding and bottle feeding, because I couldn't keep up with demand. And I know everyone used to say to me, oh, definitely breastfeed at night, definitely bottle feed at night, because it makes such a difference. And I must admit, I did breastfeed at night because I found it easier, and I don't think it would have made that much difference, to be honest.
No. And it's all down to the individual child as well. So I don't know how you are with your boys, but depending on their temperament, depending on their individual sleep needs and what they need from you, can be a kind of a factor in that as well. So for example, one of your children, you can tell me in a minute, but maybe one of your children breastfed and then slept for much longer than the other one, or needed less help or less support to go back to sleep, whereas it all depends on the child as well. So you can parent them in exactly the same way, but you may find that one sleeps really well, and as we see as really well, and the other one wakes up a little bit more and needs some more support.
Yeah,
because they're different people.
But even now, I mean, as I said, mine are 14, 12 and 10. But now the 14-year-old was an absolute pain when he was a newborn. He would always, he wanted comfort feeding when he went to sleep and that sort of thing. He didn't sleep very well at all. And he doesn't need as much sleep even now. He does go to bed a bit later because he doesn't need the sleep. Whereas my middle son, if he doesn't get at least 8 hours sleep a night, there's no point in even trying to communicate with him. And he was the same when he was a baby. He slept much better. He just did.
Yeah. Isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
So your oldest son, his sleep needs are much lower than your middle son. So, even when they're a baby, that's gonna come through.
Yeah.
And whatever you do to try and combat that, they're still, you kind of have to work around those needs and make sure that everything that I recommend will be suited to either one of those scenarios.
Yeah. Yeah, my youngest doesn't really need much sleep at all. So he's always been like that, and he's the same now. He just, yeah, he doesn't need as much sleep. So
Wow, I wish I could be like that. I need a lot of sleep, otherwise I'm
I
very grumpy.
know. 'Cause the other thing is, does it make a difference? And I've always thought this, and I don't know if it's true, but I always felt that my boys were particularly active when I was carrying them at night. So obviously they're really active when they're at night when you're carrying them, and then suddenly when they're born, you're suddenly expecting them to turn round and go, "No, nighttime, you're not active anymore. Now you have to be asleep at night." Is there anything is there anything in that, or is there anything that you can do to help that, or?
Yeah, it takes a little while for, especially when they're first born, for a baby's circadian rhythm to kind of balance out. So that's their natural body clock. We know that when we wake up in the morning, we're going to be going to bed at night time, and our body clocks are fairly kind of standard sort of across our society. We all know that we wake up in the morning, we go to sleep at night. And it takes a while for babies to work that out because, as you say, they've been in a really nice, dark, comfortable space for 9 months, and they don't know that that's what they're meant to do. So the one thing you can do is make sure that a baby is going to sleep when it's dark at night time. Make sure their bedroom's really nice and dark, or if they're sometimes with newborns, we have them kind of in with us relaxing in the evening. We make sure that's a nice dark space. And then as soon as they wake up and it's morning time, we open the curtains. We have it's a kind of a different atmosphere. So we're talking, whereas at night time maybe we're whispering. We're a lot more kind of active, a lot more going on, to really help them work out, okay, in the morning, mummy's jumping about and she's opening the curtains, it's really bright. Whereas in the evening, it's a little bit more sleepy and dark, and it just really helps kind of balance that rhythm out. And it can take a good few weeks to do that, but that's really, really helpful to kind of allow them to work out that this is the time that we're sort of supposed to be asleep and supposed to be awake. That can be difficult with naps and things if newborns are napping quite a lot in the day, but they still need it to be nice and dark. So sort of don't kind of worry too much about the darkness during the day, because we still need to show them that it's going to be dark at night as well.
And I know something I spotted on your I think it was your Instagram feed recently, was the sort of the misconception, if you like, that if your baby sleeps more during the day, they won't sleep at night. Which I thought was really interesting, because I know I was always told that, or don't let them sleep during the day. And I mean, I know obviously it applies slightly when they're a little bit older, but I know even with newborns, they'd say, "Oh, try and keep them awake a lot in during the day, and then they'll be tired at night."
Exactly. It's completely the other way around. It's a bit of a kind of a counterintuitive thing where you think, no, I've got to get them tired. And actually, it's the opposite. The more, on the whole, let's say, sleep needs are all different, but on the whole, the more sleep that we all get, or and babies get, we're much more likely to sleep more peacefully, with go into deeper sleeps, and not fight as well. I think sometimes overtiredness can really cause babies to fight that sleep when you know that they're just desperately tired and they're really upset and getting, that sort of inconsolable cry. It's probably just because they want to go to sleep desperately. They've just gone way too far past it, and it's just they're finding it really difficult. So to kind of combat that, you can ensure that they've had a nice, decent amount of sleep in the day, or they're going to bed a bit earlier as well. Sometimes that can really help. If they're dropping naps or naps are proving a little bit difficult, then bringing bedtime earlier can really kind of solve all of those issues. But it's definitely counterintuitive that yes, more sleep promotes more sleep.
No, I always think that, and I must admit, even when sort of newborns are coming into the studio, and I sort of say, "Oh, try and keep them awake a little bit in the morning." But I always say that's great, but equally, baby's going to know exactly what they want to do. So don't feel that, "Oh, we've got to do this, we've got to do that," because at the end of the day, baby knows what they want to do, and we just
100%.
work around it. And I think that
Yeah,
is the same to a
we're led
certain
by
extent.
them. They are the boss of us, really, aren't
Yeah, and
they?
that doesn't seem to change.
No.
So yeah, I was looking at perhaps looking at a couple of top tips for sort of settling babies off to sleep. So sort of what would your, have you got sort of like a top tip, just little things that maybe people can sort of take away that might help? Obviously, you've already mentioned about sort of trying to have the two distinguishing sort of like evenings versus mornings. Mm-hmm. So is there anything else that...
Yeah, I think what I just touched on with the timing. So you don't want to get your baby into a kind of an overtired state. And so to aiming for a bedtime that's slightly earlier than you would initially, you've sort of been trying already. If it's not working, then try a bedtime a little bit earlier, which will just ensure that if your child is overtired, they're getting to sleep a little bit earlier and you're kind of topping up their sleep tank. But also, if they get into bed and they're not overtired, you're getting at that right sort of perfect timing almost, then bedtime is going to be easier, it's going to be nicer, you're going to enjoy it more, and so is your child. You'll be able to read a story nicely together, whereas if they're overtired, that might be really difficult. It might be difficult to distract them. So that's the first thing. And also check out their sleep signs instead of following wake windows. There's a lot out there at the moment about wake windows, and they are really useful for as a guide to follow for naps and for bedtime. But they can also depend on what's happened in the day. So, for example, if you've had a super busy day, you've been to soft play, your child's been running all over the shop and they're absolutely shattered, then their 3-hour wake window in the afternoon probably won't be the same, because they've had such a kind of physical afternoon that they may just need to go to sleep a little bit quicker, or a bit earlier, sorry. So following their sleep signs as well, if you're noticing that your child is maybe yawning a little bit more, or if they're just like on the sofa flat out, they don't want to do any activities, they don't want to carry on playing games or anything, then that's the sign that they could do with going to bed earlier. So really follow your instincts. If you think, actually, my child looks really tired here, we're going to get them into bed nice and early. Even if you miss a bath for one night, you know, it doesn't matter. It's going to help them in the long run.
Yeah. 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 And I think, does that sort of also apply sort of with not quite newborns, obviously, because I know then they haven't really got a pattern at all. But is it trying to, even with newborns, trying to work out sort of if they are tired? And I know with all three of my boys, they definitely had sort of like that bewitching hour that was sort of between 5 and 7 o'clock was just, it's really hard. So it's trying to figure out if there is anything you can do. And it's just, you know, as soon as you get to that bewitching hour, it's like, oh, here we go. Is there anything that you can do with that? Or is it just a case of sort of working through it?
Yeah, it's the one thing with that is feed more, give your baby as much comfort. We used to put our girls in their slings and just keep them close to us, walk around the house with them, get them outside if you can, walk around the garden, get a bit of fresh air, and just keep kind of answering to their needs. If you've tried everything and they're still upset, I always recommend putting them in the pushchair and going for a walk, even if it's really late, it doesn't matter. Because it's going to help you out, and the fresh air will help them out as well. Even if they're screaming their heads off and they're in the pushchair, don't worry. Like, don't feel like you're waking all your neighbours up, because, you know, they'd be screaming in the house anyway. So it's one of those things where we did a lot of feeding, like cluster feeding, around 4 months. So this is when it usually kind of happens. And cluster feeding can really, really help. That's when, you know, you just feed them little bits very, very often.
Yeah,
and keeping them really close to you as well. But those sleep signs can appear from newborn. So I would recommend anybody with a newborn just to kind of be aware of what their baby is doing at that sort of bedtime, or just before they think a nap's coming. Just check out what those sleep signs are, because you might find that they do something. I don't know. They rub their ears or put their hands against their face or their eyes, and that would be a really good sign to show that they're tired. And all baby signs are slightly different, so some show early signs, some show late, and some show overtired signs, which is really interesting, because I've worked with babies who don't show any signs at all, so it's all a bit of guesswork. But if your baby is showing some signs, that's really, really useful, and you can kind of work out from there. You can gauge what the best time for them to go down is after seeing what those signs are.
Yeah, And do they tend to sort of change as newborns develop? Do they, the sort of the sleep signs change? So is it one of those things that with many things, it's, I know with newborn, I very rarely, if ever, use the word routine, because you just, you never really, I just don't use it. In fact, I just say, I don't mention the R word, because I know that, yeah. You know, you, in your heart, in your head, you'd, or in your heart, you'd love to have a routine, but in your head, you know, there isn't really anything early on. But does it sort of change as they get a little bit older? So to, so like, you know, because obviously with a lot of these apps and that sort of thing, you can get these, well, at this stage, baby's doing this, at this stage, baby's doing that. Is it the same with sleep? Do they change as they go along?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, there's some big changes. After sort of between 3 and 6 months, introducing sort of mini routines is quite a nice thing to do. Just like a 20-minute bedtime routine that you do every night before bed, if that works for your child. Sometimes, you know, some routines don't often work, and actually they need to be a bit older before they start really enjoying that kind of that routine before bed. But yeah, there's big sort of jumps, developmental jumps with sleep. I mean, that's one of the things about sleep regressions that you hear quite a lot. And actually, a sleep regression is actually when a child is progressing in a developmental way, something's happening that's causing their sleep to be disrupted. But that's not a bad thing. It's actually that their child is learning something new. Often with crawling or learning to stand or learning to roll, you find that sleep is disrupted when a child is learning those sorts of things. And like mentally as well, there's things that they pick up. I mean, they're learning so much every single day that they must be absolutely shattered.
Yes, I know what we're like. I know what I'm like when I'm just learning one new thing. So I can't imagine. I always think it's a real shame that they actually can't remember a lot of it, that none of us can, because it must be, everything is just so wow. And it's just a real shame that you can't remember it all. But I guess if you could, you'd be exhausted by about 5.
Yeah, probably. Yeah, your brain memory box would be absolutely full up, wouldn't it?
Exactly. Yeah, it would be a bit like my phone, my phone camera. Yes. It's just, no, can't take anymore. So are there any other sort of couple of other tips that maybe you can just sort of, yeah, anything that you can pick up on, maybe, you know, if it is a little bit older? And particularly maybe if you've got sort of you're sort of looking at welcoming a second baby.
That's always pretty hard.
Yeah.
Yeah. One thing that I always recommend parents to do is, especially with settling at nighttime, is to keep things really simple. I mean, when my girls were younger, we used to sort of run in and out. We used to get them a drink. We used to pick them up. We used to put them down. We used to sing them a song. My wife would sing one song. I would sing a different song. And actually, when I think about it now, it was probably chaos. And they had no idea what was going on. So keeping things really simple, keeping maybe 3 ways of settling your baby that you and your partner can do, or you and another carer can do, so that your child can predict the response and feels a lot more secure and a lot more safe with what's going on. They are going to be so much more calm if they know what's coming. So, for example, you might maybe pat their bum or stroke their back or stroke their hand. You might sing a lullaby, or you might say a couple of words like "Mummy's here" or "You're safe" or, you know, things like that. And you might do some shushing or some deep breaths, or if you've got a white noise machine, that's kind of doing those sorts of things for you. But just keeping it really, really similar. And that consistency will really help your baby know what's going on, but also to settle to sleep much kind of in a more kind of calm sense as well. But it's one of those things where I think once you start thinking about, or talking to your partner about, okay, what do you do when you're settling? Because quite a lot of people do like a night on, night off, don't they?
Yeah.
So what do you do when you're settling, you know, your baby? And it's quite funny, it's quite interesting how different, just, you know, the same parents, but equally, you know, each of them can settle the baby slightly differently or sing a different song. Or,
yeah.
And then when you sort of break it down, you think, actually, that can be quite chaotic and quite confusing. So just keeping it really, really simple, take it back to the bare minimum and just do those things. I mean, things that we did when I was going through my training with my girls, we did that. We stripped things back, and we still do those things now. And actually, they're really helpful when one of my girls is having a bit of a meltdown. They're sort of nearly 3 now. So we get you know, quite a lot of heated meltdowns, and actually going back to thinking, okay, what actually settled them to sleep? And it's some calming words. It's we used to rub their hands and things, and we do that when they're having their meltdowns, and it helps amazingly. It's so interesting.
Yeah. Yeah, it's funny because I always used to sing the same lullaby that actually my mum used to sing to me. So it's sort of like the Christopher Robin lullaby. And it's funny because I sort of miss it now. I really do, because clearly if I started singing to them now, I think they'd just go, just no. In fact, the standard sentence is just no, mummy, just no. Okay. So, but it's funny. I did used to do it. And it's when you mentioned it, I thought, yes, I used to do that every night. And we did try and do bath time every night, but then we found for a while that they were getting so excited because they'd all have the bath together and they'd all be in there together, and it actually was a bit counterintuitive. It started to get them more excited than less, so we sort of we brought that forward a bit. So we used to do bath time but earlier, even sometimes before tea, then you do that, and then you could have your sort of like calm down afterwards. So I guess it's like you're saying, it's just trying to work out what works. Mm. And again, that changed. And
100%. And it is a bit of a challenge when you introduce a second sibling or even a third sibling, because that routine then has to adapt, and you've got to suit everybody in that routine, including yourselves, which is really difficult. You know, I think about it. If we added another child into our situation, you know, we've already got the twins, and it's ridiculous sometimes. I just don't know where the time goes, and we can't fit everything in. So trying to do an early bedtime in our house is a bit kind of slapdash, and get in the bath, get out the bath and upstairs and get into bed. And
yeah,
it's really difficult to fit it all in. But you just have to find a way that's, like I said, suits everybody and adapts, and make sure everything I do anyways, if I make any recommendations, would make sure it fits everybody in the family unit.
Yeah.
The routine, the daily kind of day to day, if one of the parents is on shift work, for example, or has a longer day than the other parent, we need to make sure that we're supporting the other parent because they're going to be on their own for a bit longer. All of those sorts of things, you really got to think about those. And when a baby comes along, it can be difficult sometimes to fit that all in, but it works. You just find a way, don't you? Most of the time, you find a way to make it work.
Yeah. This is it. I mean, I think when I had my second and my third, I think it was harder going from one to two, because I think I didn't want my eldest to feel left out. So yeah. I tried to fit my newborn into the eldest and realised quite soon on that just doesn't work. doesn't work. So as you say, it's just trying to figure out what works for you. And that's why I think what you do is just so amazing, because you take each individual situation, don't you, and work out what works for them. So,
yeah, exactly.
So obviously I mentioned in the introduction about you offer one-to-one support and sleep masterclasses and downloadable guides and that sort of thing. Can you tell me a little bit more about those and where people can find them?
Yeah, definitely. So the one-to-one support is really for families who want a completely kind of bespoke and tailored service. They have me working with them for a period of 2 or 3 weeks, and I do a massive assessment form where I just find out all about what's going on, and we talk often to so that I know exactly what's going on in their family, and then I work out recommendations based on that, based on their parenting choices, anything that they're comfortable with. Everything kind of needs to be, I need to understand everything before I can give them those recommendations. So that's that one-to-one support, and that's where I love doing those. I just love getting to know the families. I come away a lot of the time with friends rather than clients, because we're talking daily, we're texting daily, we're adapting whatever happens from the night before, we're changing that slightly if something hasn't gone quite right, and then we're going through those wins together, you know, we're celebrating together when the goals are met, essentially.
Yeah.
That's fab. I love doing those. And then I also have like a little newborn package as well, which is a lovely little thing. It really helps parents understand sleep in general, what is normal about sleep, what they can expect, gives them lots of tips and tools and kind of equip them to manage what's happening, but also feel empowered and able to trust their instincts as well. When you've got a newborn, it's really difficult sometimes to feel like you're doing the right thing.
Yes.
But more often than not, you're doing 100% the right thing. So
yes,
it's just allowing parents to feel like that as well. And helping them as their child grows up as well. Once you've got that kind of base level of information, it's, you know, you've got it after that.
Yeah.
And then I do a couple of bits of sort of online learning. So if people don't want a full package, or they want to just kind of work through any issues themselves, then I've got some sleep masterclasses which are available online, and I also have some downloadable guides. So it's kind of different mediums of how people yeah. can get the information. However they choose, they prefer to read, they can have the downloadable guide. If they prefer to watch a little presentation, then there's that available as well.
Yeah. No, I just wish I'd known you when my boys were young. You would have saved my life, I think. I mean, we obviously get through it, but I know it is tough at times, and that's why, you know, I'm so passionate about helping sort of mums to be, new mums, and even families as they get bigger. Because we know we've been there and we know what it's like. Mm-hmm. And I think, as I said, what you do, it's just amazing. And it's just, as you say, particularly with a newborn, because I always say that nobody would give you the keys to a Formula One car and then say, right, off you go. There you are. And that's how it feels when you come home, particularly when you're first newborn. It's like, right, lovely. Well done. Bye. And it's like, I haven't got
Those
a clue.
First few days, exactly. You're just kind of working through it, aren't you? Every hour you're just working out what's going on, and it's so tricky.
Yeah, and it's magical when you look back at it, but at the time it's really scary. And with sleep, you know, if they're not sleeping or they're not settling, and you think, well, what am I doing wrong? And as you say, every baby is different, so you know, that's where I think that's what you do is just brilliant, because you can sort of take the situation, you can take it from a sort of like a non-person, because obviously when you are mum or dad, you are so obviously personally invested in it, whereas you can sort of take a step back and look at more of the science side of it, and the more, you know, and that can be so helpful. Which is brilliant.
And I think it's hard not to compare as well, isn't it? Like, you go to baby classes and you hear lots of stories, you know, oh, my baby slept through last night, and you think, oh great, well mine hasn't. And that makes you then feel really kind of sad and like you're doing something wrong, and essentially you're not doing something wrong. And it's hard to then not compare, isn't it? With twins, when my two were younger, we did compare them against each other, and it took us a little while to go, actually, hang on, what are we doing? We can't compare them. They're two separate, two completely different people. And comparing them is just not right. So it's that as well, isn't it? I think when you have a newborn, there's like the standard questions that everybody asks each other. And we do it, you know, even kind of other mums, we ask these same questions. And for some parents, it's nice to talk about, but for others, they just don't want to talk about it because it's not going well.
No, I know. I was the one that, where everyone was going, oh, I did so well last night, I got 4 hours sleep. And you think, yeah, I got that over the last week, you know, because he particularly my eldest, he just didn't settle, but he would always settle when we were out. So everyone would be going, are you sure? Are you sure? No, trust me.
He looks like it can sleep.
Yeah, trust me. If you were there at 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock, you would know he doesn't settle. So, you know, and you try and see the funny side of it. But if you are so sleep deprived, your sense of humour does tend to wane a little bit. So
it does, doesn't it? Yeah.
So, yeah, so that's absolutely brilliant. So if anyone wants to get in contact with you, how can they do that?
Yeah, they can head to my website, which is sunrisesleepcoach.com. And from there, you can book a call with me, view the packages, read reviews, and just generally get in touch with me. I offer a free kind of 20-minute initial chat if anybody's interested in a package, just to get to know each other more than anything. It's just nice to see if our views align and you know, it's just a right fit. And then I've also got my Instagram and Facebook page, which is just at Sunrise Sleep Coach. Loads of stuff on there, loads of free help and me being silly in my reels and things, but that's what we all do, isn't it, these days. But yeah, any of those two, you can get in touch with me. in my DMs or head to the website.
No, that's brilliant. Yeah, as I said, I love seeing your various different Instagram reels. They're brilliant. And I love seeing the girls as well. So I know every so often they do feature.
They do, don't they? Yeah.
No, that's been absolutely brilliant. So hopefully people will have picked something up. So I know, as I said, I just wish I'd known you when the boys were younger. I have the opposite problem now. Have you got any ideas on how to get a preteen to actually get out of bed? Because that's the issue. That's the issue I've got with
all of my skills are getting into bed and staying asleep.
Yes, unfortunately. Not the other way around. Yeah, unfortunately, my 12-year-old has already hit teenage, and he's the one that. And again, that's where they're really different. Even interestingly now. My eldest son, who is obviously a teenager, is very much, he likes to sleep, but he's getting up and getting out and come on, let's go. And so is my youngest. But my middle son would quite happily stay in bed all day. He'd get up to play cricket, karate or scouts. But other than that, he'd quite happily stay in bed all day. So,
oh, wow. So if you, what a dream. That sounds dreamy now, though. I think that sounds like a good life.
It does. But if you can figure out that one for me, that would be really helpful.
I'll let you know.
No, that's brilliant. Thank you so much, Nadia.
Oh, my pleasure. Thank you for
having me. All right. Take care. Wow. That has been fantastic. We've laughed, we've yawned, we've learned, and hopefully we're all heading towards a more peaceful night, even if it is just for a few minutes to start with. A heartfelt thank you to Nadia for shedding light on the twilight topic of sleep. Nadia, your wisdom and warmth have added an extra sparkle to the podcast. Your expertise and experience, mixed with your down-to-earth mum insights, have undoubtedly painted a clearer picture of the path to sweeter dreams and better rest. Your dedication not only just to mastering the art of sleep, but also making it accessible and comprehensible for everyone is just awesome. The stories you shared, the tips you offered, and the comprehensive understanding you provided will undoubtedly echo in the hearts and homes of all new parents. So as we wrap up this sleepy saga, I really hope you've picked up a few hints and tips to help you grab even just a few minutes of extra sleep. Who knows, perhaps the secret to extra sleep isn't so secret anymore, thanks to Nadia, the Sunrise Sleep Coach. If you want to get hold of Nadia, you can find her details in the information about this podcast episode. And remember, if you're seeking a lullaby for your sleep troubles, Nadia's the one to call. A bit like the Ghostbusters of the sleep world.
So there we have another episode of the Little Bean Podcast. I'd love to hear from you and hear all your stories. Thank you to the wonderful families who have already reached out. I really enjoy sharing these special moments with you. I truly hope that the tips and stories we've shared today will help you cherish every precious step of your family journey.